Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I find it hard to believe that at 10 o'clock, Chris Wallace is going to start talking and outlining the future of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Correct.
How is that possible?
Because through this franchise, all things are possible, good and bad.
I mean, how is that possible?
I don't have a great answer for you. Like for years this franchise has made, in terms of public relations especially, has made decisions where I go, huh?
I just, and again, like I it's funny because like Don DeWeese is a guy I know pretty well, and I raised my kids going to that donut shop.
Yeah,
right. Gibson's has been was a really important part of my families growing up.
Sure.
When I was a single dad,
yeah.
Saturday morning.
Donut day.
Donut day.
Yeah.
And he's very good friends with Chris Wallace. And so every time I write anything suggesting it's time for a change, Don gets mad at me.
Uh-huh.
Right. And, but this isn't even about that. It's about the credibility of the franchise going forward. And honestly, it's not even about Chris Wallace. It's about having someone to fill the vacuum that exists with this team.
Yes.
It just doesn't work. You have an owner, and this is his right, and it's his prerogative, and I don't even think he's been a bad owner in many ways. I mean, he's done the money. He's paid out he seems committed to Memphis. The locals basically believe in him as someone who is committed to Memphis. He's funded every contract. He's paid up to the tax line. He's invested money. I think Robert Parra has been a good owner in many, many ways. He is not a guy who talks, period.
Yes.
Or believes there's any obligation to talk or any belief to set the vision or anything else. He did talk to me in December, but beyond that, he hasn't talked to anybody, and he is not a guy who can lay out the vision for the franchise or is willing to. He's just not.
Yes.
Not one of the ways he's wired. And that's, you know, Paul Allen didn't either, God rest his soul, but Paul Allen didn't either. But if you don't have him, you then need, okay, who is going to lay out the vision for the franchise? Who do we trust here? Who is going to explain? Who is going to talk to season ticket holders? I'll be honest, there was a wife of a season ticket rep who wrote me yesterday, and they're worried because they're not sure how they're going to sell their season tickets. And and I don't know how you can sell this. And so you need someone who has the authority and the credibility, and those are different. The authority and the credibility to outline and then execute the vision of the franchise. And right now, for good or ill, Chris Wallace has neither of those things. He does not have the authority to, I mean, what we know is his defenders, and they're precious few at this point, what his defenders will say to you about Chris Wallace is, didn't have anything to do with Hasheem Thabeet, didn't have anything to do with Chandler Parsons, didn't have anything to do, less you hear this, less about Jeff Green, but you certainly see with Hasheem Thabeet and Chandler Parsons, didn't have anything to do with him, right? So the best you can say about Chris Wallace, aside from what he did once upon a time, when he did, and I've given him full credit mm-hmm. for having built the original Grit and Grind Grizzlies.
Yes.
But, like, that doesn't last forever. You don't get a lifetime pass for that any more than Larry Finch got a lifetime pass for doing great things for the city or whatever. You just don't get a lifetime pass for building that team once upon a time. So the best you can say about Chris's role in those transactions was that he was ineffectual. that he wasn't persuasive, that he didn't have the authority in order to avert those decisions. Well, then what's the point of him? Like, I mean, I really, if what you're saying is, yeah, you don't understand, Chris has no power in there. Why do I need him?
Correct. Like, that's not, like, to me, that's never been, I do think it is
I actually think there's some truth to both of those things.
Correct.
I don't think he pushed Hashim Thabeet. I don't think he pushed Chandler Parsons. But why do you need him?
Correct.
If he has no ability to, and no authority, well, let's get someone who you are willing. And then the other problem is that even if you now really, let's say you magically bestowed the authority on him, right?
Okay.
And Parra said, okay, Chris, you're my guy. You really are making the decisions now. You know, you're the guy in charge, at least, and I'll approve of decisions. But at this point, he has no credibility. I mean, Chris Wallace is almost unfairly, I think, sort of become representative of everything, every mistake they've ever made.
Exactly. That's what I agree with you on. Like, you can use the he's not a decision maker when all the blame, like, it's, well, this is all Chris Wallace. Fire Chris Wallace. It's like, well, that's not it. But at the same time, just because you can make that point does not mean that that is a case for keeping Chris Wallace.
Right. And so there's just, from PR purposes, it literally makes no sense. And you can't, the only way you could possibly justify it is your mind is you are completely disconnected from the city. Completely disconnected from this city. So there he is, and Chris is going to be out there today, and he's going to be very shortly explaining the vision for the Grizzlies. And what can he say? Nothing. There's nothing he can say. As I said in my column, he could say exactly what Magic Johnson said, and then people would be happy, which is, I want to go back to having fun. This is no fun anymore. I quit.
I want to get back on Twitter.
If he said that, yes, I want to get back on the radio shows twice a week, then people would be happy. There's nothing else he can say that is going to persuade people of anything today. Okay, so then, but that's, a lot of that is perception problem, right? That's the
correct
PR perception problem.
Yes.
If that were the only problem, you might say, well, screw y'all. We don't care about, tickets will sell when the team wins, and this is an organization that makes good decisions, and they are going to win again, and then we'll get over this issue. Screw the perception. You don't can a man, and you don't remake a front office because of perception issues.
Exactly.
The problem is, if you look at the substance, you've got substance issues. And that does not mean that everything they've done has been bad. Very clearly, that is not true. It is not true that everything done that they have done has been bad. I think you have to say that right now, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to DeLon Wright or Jonas Valanciunas, right? But right now, that looks like a decent return for Mark, doesn't it?
Yes, agreed.
I mean, you've got
DeLon Wright's
getting triple doubles three of the last four games. Jonas Valanciunas is already becoming a fan favorite, putting up big numbers. And whether those things are sustainable in a season at a time of the year when it all matters. I mean, this is a time when Marshawn Brooks looked great last night, and we saw what that turned into. But basically, Jonas Valanciunas did what he does. And so there's no reason to think he won't keep doing it. DeLon Wright is a gifted player who never has put it quite together, and he's getting an opportunity now, and so that's great. CJ Miles is very clearly going to be back. It looks like they got a decent return there. It looks like Jaren Jackson Jr., honestly, you can argue that they should have drafted Trae Young. I think you can make that argument, but Jaren Jackson Jr. looks like a good pick, right?
Yeah, and in fairness to drafting Trae Young, at the time, their plan was, we're trying to add one piece, and we're trying to keep Mike.
Well, yeah, that gets to a larger question of whether that should have been their,
yes,
whether that should have been their goal. But then in addition, let's give them full marks for other credits. I think Bruno Caboclo is a addition who was useful. I think Noah is someone who was useful.
Yes.
And so it's simply impossible to argue. Now we have Kyle Anderson, who's had surgery, and I think the jury's out on that, right? Don't you think the jury's out on that?
Yes. Anytime you go under the knife.
But even before then, it's not clear that that was a wise expenditure. Not
correct.
It's neither clear nor unclear. We don't know.
Correct. Incomplete.
The problem is this. For every one of those good moves I can mention, there are moves that are so bizarrely bad that they suggest a reactivity, a lack of direction, a lack of focus, and a lack of vision that is ultimately debilitating, particularly in a small market franchise where you don't have room to make these kind of mistakes. And it is this, we are going to have, this is a franchise, as you pointed out, talked about making the playoffs at the start of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about winning 50 games at the start of this year. It's delusional, right? Absolutely delusional stuff. This is a franchise that, I mean, it goes back to last year. Like, where's the consistency? At the trade deadline last year, they didn't trade Tyreek. And what we believe we know is that they could have gotten 2 second-round picks for Tyreek. They did not trade Tyreek for 2 second-round picks because they decided, you know what, that's not enough. And there will be certain collective bargaining reasons that we will have an advantage to re-sign him if we don't trade him now. And so we want to keep him, and that's why we're not going to get our 2 seconds. Even though keeping him risked the tank last year, and it did, in fact, cost him in the tank last year.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play much, but he did get him at least one win that they would not have had last year. And even though we could have used these 2 second-round picks, we were so committed to giving a shot to re-sign Tyreek that we're just going to keep him and screw the second-round picks, right?
Yep.
Between then and the end of the season, they decide they want no part of him.
Right. So what changed?
So where is the consistency there? How about this one? They are in a desperate situation.
Uh-huh.
They've bollocked up the Marshawn Brooks, Dylan Brooks deal, which, by the way, is its own screw up. I don't hold them completely accountable, but both the other franchises that were involved in that screw up have already made changes. So they screwed this deal up, but they're trying to make the playoffs desperately, right? Trying to certainly convey the pick desperately.
Uh-huh.
So they give up 2 second-round picks for Justin Holliday, which is insane. Insane. 2 high second-round picks for Justin Holliday. That was, I think, January 3rd? It was early January.
Yes, I'll double-check, but yes.
By the end of January, they had Mark and Mike on the market. So, in other words, within less than 3 weeks later.
January the 3rd.
Less than 3 weeks later, they're going all in. They're spending draft picks like drunken sailors. Draft pick, draft pick, draft pick. They also, by the way, gave up a second-round pick
for
Garrett
Temple. You want a draft pick? You get a draft pick.
And within fewer, less than 3 weeks, they had already said, screw this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put Mike and Mark on the market.
Yeah.
Where is the consistency there?
There isn't any.
And it goes beyond that. How about David Fizdale? Like, again, David Fizdale is our God and Savior. David uh-huh. Fizdale is the guy we've identified him. We've done a national search. We have figured this out. He is our dude. And we are going to build this, and we're going to repaint the walls because he asked us to repaint the walls. We're all on a David Fizdale. He is going to change the culture of this franchise. Less than a year and a half later, didn't last a season and a half, David Fizdale is fired.
Take that for data.
Where is the consistency in this?
There is none.
And to me, it's just simple. You bring in, I'm not asking for a bloodbath over there. I don't even care if Chris Wallace is fired. Have Chris Wallace be in charge of be an ambassador or whatever. You know, he could be on calls. I don't care. But bring in someone on top of this who can speak for the franchise, who can do what Pera is not willing to do because it's not how he's wired, and you have to sort of recognize your strengths and weaknesses, and then let that person restore some degree of credibility, trust, and momentum to a franchise that, let's be honest,
has none.
Has none and is getting absolutely crushed by comparison with the Memphis Tigers.
Yes.
And so it's just time, man. It's just time. The idea that we're going to be over there listening to Chris Wallace again. What in the world? What in the world? And you should have already made that change. And Robert Parrish should be speaking today to the group and talking about how he's committed to winning, committed to Memphis, and committed to making the changes that they should be making. But that's not going to happen. Instead, it is going to be Chris Wallace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.